And we are in the middle of a search for a senior pastor for the church here. For everybody who's part of the church here, we are looking at three candidates-ish, to varying degrees. So be encouraged about that, and pray for the search committee. So I am the rope-a-dope until until you get somebody who's going to stay here permanently. If you've got a Bible, turn it with it, if you can please, to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to go somewhere else from here. And we're just going to read briefly through what we've been looking at over the last few weeks. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. If you've got a different translation, some of the words will be slightly different. Don't freak out. Don't panic. It's good. Then we go to this part. Give us today the food that we need. And then we looked at last week how that is joined together in the same sentence with what comes next. And even also is the word that's used. Give us today the food we need, and even also forgive us our sins. Those two are combined. They're a combined sentence. So part of the food that I need to be sustained every single day is, and even also, the forgiveness of my debts to God. And then we very, very briefly looked at the part where it says, as we forgive those who have debts against us. That's where we all want to stick the parking brake on, right? I do. And whenever I start talking about forgiveness, it seems that I need it more. Like I was reminded last night at 12 o'clock when the guy next door decided that that would be the ultimate wonderful time to start skateboarding. Forgiveness was not in the forefront of my mind. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to start the chainsaw and cut his deck in half. Now skateboard, you know what I mean? And then pulls his garage up, switch all the lights on, and starts playing his music. And sharing his music with everybody in the whole subdivision. Absolutely marvelous. Till 1:20 this morning. And forgiveness at that point is not on the front of my radar. And I'm laying there in bed thinking, oh, Jesus, please forgive him, because I can't. I can't. And that's almost where we left it last week, right? I need to pray that God would make me or help me be somebody who wants to forgive. Right? And lying in my bed last night, it was God who wanted to forgive, not me. Right, and make that very clear. Like I wanted to go down. Like I didn't. I wanted to go down and turn off his electricity. Like just put an axe through the surface coming into the side of his house. Just go right through it. Then fix it in the morning. You know what I mean? When everybody's awake. That's what I wanted to do. But I'm laying there thinking, okay, God, you love the guy. I want to hit him with my fist. But you love him. And so please help me get to a place where I can lie here and try to go to sleep with forgiveness. I want to be there, but I'm not. All right? That's the honest, transparent truth. But I got to understand that's not good enough. All right? So like as I'm coming out this morning, I'm walking down the steps. I'm thinking, okay, well, God, he's still alive. Bless him. And that means that you let him live today because you love him. And he breathes the same air that I'm breathing. The same rain is falling on his garden, is falling on mine. The same sunshine will break out onto him tomorrow as it does on me. You love us both equally. Like, God, please help me forgive the guy. Help me talk to him. Help me figure this out. Help me, you know, all of those things. All of those things. Now, so that's where we got to in the prayer. Forgive us, and even also forgive us. That's part of what I need to sustain me every single day, as we forgive those who've sinned against us. Now, then, if you've got a Bible, go backwards to the clean pages. All right, to the clean pages, 1 Kings chapter 3. Now you might think, what on earth has this got to do with the Our Father prayer? What is 1 Kings chapter 3 got to do with the Our Father prayer? Well, if just give me a moment, I'll show you. It's wonderful. It's 31,105 verses, right? It's one book. Same original author. Now, Text criticism, which nobody really cares about. Text critical analysis will tell you what was the original author's intent when they wrote this book. But I keep coming back to the point that the original author is the Holy Spirit. The original author is God. This is God-breathed. It was breathed through the agency of human beings who wrote this stuff down, but it was inspired and directed by God. So the synchronicity, great word, right? Synchronicity, right? Of the Holy Spirit taking what's in the Old Testament and applying it in the New. And Jesus coming in the New Testament and referring to the Old, and Paul in his letters referring back to the Old Testament and pulling out the truth from the Old Testament. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. New Testament Christians must have massive problems. If the only understanding that we have of God is from the New Testament, we have a very warped view. Right? If you don't understand the Old Testament, you'll never understand the New. Because we don't understand what's actually going on in the New Testament if we don't understand what it's fulfilling in the Old. It's an incredible thing. So this is all, it's all wonderfully linked. And you can almost see the gleam in the Holy Spirit's eye as he's inspired him to write this down in Kings. Look at this. It's wonderful stuff. Verse 5 of chapter 3 of 1 Kings. All right? And I know what you're thinking. It's 1 Kings. The one in the top of my Bible does not have an ST next to it, all right? So I'm going to read it like it said, right? 1 Kings, right? Chapter 5. That's what I was taught. That's what I can't get out of the habit. All right? Verse 5. That night, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. Remember Solomon? Smart guy. Right? Smart guy. Solomon in a dream. And God said, it's wonderful. Anybody else in their Bible in verse 5, is Lord capitalized in your Bible? Yep. It is? Okay. So we know this is Yahweh, right? This is God, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. This is the one who speaks stars into existence. This is him. He turns up to speak to this young man, Solomon. He's probably 20. He's not a child. All right, he refers to himself as a child later on, and we'll read that. But he's not a kid. He's about 20 when he takes the throne. All right, so he's a young man. The Lord appears to him and to Solomon in a dream, and the Lord said, "What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you." Woohoo! I'd like the numbers of the lottery for next week. Like, what a great question! What do you want? Ever heard that before, anywhere in the Bible? Blind Bartimaeus. Jesus walking into Jericho. Why is he in Jericho? It's a cursed city. He's walking into Jericho because you find Jesus all over the place, and blind Bartimaeus starts shouting, the son of Timaeus, and he starts shouting, Jesus, son of David, calls him by his Old Testament title. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus turns around and says, what do you want me to do for you? Woo-hoo! Like, and this is the same, right? What do you want me to do? Ask, and I will give it to you. I know most of us have been asleep since last week. So you may not remember, but I'm going to remind you. I'm not going to ask you because it's just too embarrassing. Remember that we don't pray for what we already have. Remember that? We talked about this last week. We don't pray for what we already have. We pray for needs. We pray for things that are missing in our lives. We ask God to give us, provide for us, and all this. We don't pray for what... I don't pray, like I said last week, I don't pray for a car. I've got a car. I don't pray for a house. I have a house. So when God goes to Solomon, he asks him this question. Remember that. You don't pray for what you don't have. Right? It's a key to understanding prayer in the Bible. Right? What do you want me to do? Solomon replied, you showed faithfulness to and love, faithful love to your servant, my father David. Because he was honest. Listen to this. Wow. Anybody know the story of David or life of David? Listen to the description. Because he was honest, true, and faithful. To you. To God. Really? Yes, he was. Because in the eyes of God, he asked for forgiveness and God forgave him. Yes. Isn't that wonderful? In all his failings, in everything he did, when he was a murderer and adulterer and all of those things, and he cried out to God and said, God, forgive me. What have I done? And God forgives him. It's just wonderful. The mercy and grace of God is incredible. And so he can truly say in front of God that he was honest, true, and faithful because he repented and turned from his ways. And you have continued your faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father, David, but I am like, I'm not I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. Now, when I was a kid and the rare time I went to Sunday school, somebody at some point told me that Solomon was a child. He wasn't. He was 20, like I said. He's not a kid. He's a 20-year-old young man. Still way too young to be king. But there we go. You don't know anything when you're 20. And he says that here. If you're younger than 20, just get over the insult. It's not an insult. It's actually true. You don't know anything when you're 20. We think we do when we're 20. We think we know a lot. But it's amazing. When you get to 35, how much smarter your parents are. Just leave that with you, right? And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous that cannot be counted. What an incredible task. Give me understanding. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? What a great answer. But remember, you don't ask for what you already have. Why didn't he ask for a house? Because he's got a stinking palace. Do you understand that? Right, when we read this, we think, of all the things he could have asked for. No, he's got most of them. He's got them. Now, this applies directly to us. Well, why doesn't he ask for a house? Because he's got palaces. Why doesn't he ask for chariots? Because he's got chariots and horsemen. Why doesn't he ask for a gorgeous wife? Because he's just got married. Do you understand all the stuff he's ticked? You don't ask for what you already have. Why doesn't he ask for wealth? Because he's the king. He has wealth. Why doesn't he ask for fame? Everybody in the country knows who he is. So understand, you've got to understand that. But in the middle of all of this, he knows he's lacking something. So why do I care in 21st century Pemberton Valley? Why do I care? Why do I care in Spud Valley? Like, what? Why? Why do I care? Well, God says we feel what you want. I'm thinking, well, I've got a car. Don't need a chariot. Got a house. Don't need a palace. I've got some money in my bank. It's not a lot. I've got Canadian Tire money in my drawer. So I'm Canadian. And I have my own little kingdom. We are all kings in our own little kingdoms. So what don't I have? I don't have the same thing that he doesn't have. God, I need insight and I need wisdom and I need you in my life to survive. We're in exactly the same boat as this guy. Exactly the same, no different. We may not be kings of nations, but we have our own little kingdoms that we rule. We have our own little bank account that we think the bank's actually in charge, but we think we're in charge, right? Think of all that stuff. And he says, okay. So the Lord, verse 10, read this with me. Verse 10, you need to make sure I'm not lying because this is very, very, very important. This is where it goes to Matthew 6. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. Verse 11, so God replied, because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies. Fast forward 4,000 years. Forgive me my debts. He has the power in his hand right now to ask for the death of all his enemies. And God has already told him, if you ask, I'll give it to you. All of them. Now, he's already killed a few because it's barbaric times. It's different times, different world. But he doesn't ask that God kills them all. We got to understand this, like, because in the culture that they live, when you become king, the barbaric nature of where most of them lived in all the kingdoms around, if somebody becomes king, they assassinate every other person who is in the kingly line to keep the king's throne in their family and theirs alone. That's how brutal this was. They would bring them all, they'd just kill them all, men, women, and children, so that nobody could ever fight against them and take their kingly rule. And Solomon doesn't do any of that with them. He doesn't go to God and says, kill them all. Kill them all, let my family line live. And that takes us right back then to Matthew chapter 6, right? But we're not going to go there yet because it's really important what happens next. So God replied, because you didn't kill one. Want me to kill the death of your enemies. Verse 12, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you what you asked for because you didn't ask for vengeance. I will give you what you asked for. I will. Now listen to the list. Listen to the list that he gives, that he says. So remember what God has said before. So we'll read it together because I want you to remember because I've talked too much in between. You have not asked for life, for long life, wealth, or the death of your enemies. I will give you what you ask for. I will give you wisdom and understanding heart, such as no one else has had or ever will have. And I will also give you what you did not ask for. Listen to the list. Riches and fame. What did the first list include that the second list doesn't? We got to understand when we read the Bible, every single word is important in here. When we look at this, we can speed read it and we just skip down over it. And we think, oh yeah, God's told him, oh yeah, you didn't ask for riches and fame or the death of your enemies, so I will give you what you didn't ask for, riches and fame. And the death of your enemies. But God doesn't say that. Do you notice that God doesn't say that? He doesn't give him the right to bring vengeance. It's like, okay, because you didn't ask for wealth, long life, riches and fame, and the death of your enemies, I will give you what you didn't ask for. Long life, riches and fame, and not the death of your enemies. He misses that out. Why? Because this is a character issue. This is a heart issue from the throne room of God. God is grace and mercy and forgiveness and gives us over and over and over and over and over again the chance, the opportunities to find grace and forgiveness in Him. And when you read the Old Testament and when you look at the battles, you hear the words of God saying, okay, wipe them out, just wipe them off the face of the earth. We can just read those without understanding what has happened before, what has gone on before. And when God then talks about, okay, they've had chance after chance after chance after chance after chance. They're murdering their own kids. They're doing all this stuff. And if we let them live, they're going to continue to do that, and they're going to infect the rest of the planet. You have to stop this now. Stop the plague. End it now. There's an incredible book. If you want to try to rationalize the God of the Old Testament with the God of the New Testament, an amazing book. It's called God of War. It's not a super easy read. It'll make your brain sweat as you read it. It will challenge some of your thinking. You think, whoa, so I can't get away with living like that. No, you can't. No. And so it goes through all this stuff, and it talks about God, the God of war. How does the God of the Old Testament relate to Jesus? If Jesus is God, then why does the God of the Old Testament look different? And this is what was a huge, huge issue for the New Testament church. When they look back on their Old Testament history and they look forward, there were people in the church that said, no, there's actually two gods. There is the God of the Old Testament, there's the God of the New Testament. And that whole heresy was destroyed in some of the conferences that they all got together and decided, no, there's actually one God, and this is why he acted this way at this time, and this is why he acts this way now. And it's a fascinating study to do it, and it will help your faith and help your brain and help you to come to understanding that the character of God doesn't change. His nature doesn't change. And so when he comes when it comes to this point with Solomon, he looks at him and he says, no, I'll give you wealth and fame. I'm not going to give you the death of your enemies. Why? Because I forgive your enemies. Jesus is going to come in a few thousand years. He's going to say this. You've heard it said, love the people who forgive you, but I say love your enemies. But I say to you. And those statements that Jesus makes all the way through the Sermon on the Mount, in the middle of where we find this prayer that Jesus is praying, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And all of the stuff that comes after that, as Jesus goes through that, you look at the parts where it says, but I say to you. You've heard it said, but I say to you. You've heard it said here, but I say to you. And Jesus raises the level of the standard of the Old Testament to grace and mercy and forgiveness every single time. Because the God of the Old Testament still operates in grace and mercy and forgiveness. And we see it in this conversation with Solomon. He doesn't ask for vengeance. Now then. Flip forward again to Matthew chapter 6. Give me today the bread that I need, and even also forgive my sins. Forgive my debts, because it doesn't say sins, it says debts. Forgive my debts. I know our translations translate it as sins. It's not the word that's used. If you want to know the words afterwards, come and talk to me. It's not the word. The word is debt. And I have a debt to God that I cannot pay. Forgive me my debt that I can't pay you as I forgive those who have a debt against me. If I was to ask you a question in here this morning and say, how many people want the absolute best of God in their life? I don't want you to put your hand up or anything like that. Most of us would say, yeah, I do. How do I unlock it? How do I unlock the best for my life from God? How do I do it? How did Solomon do it in 1 Kings chapter 3? He asked for mercy, for wisdom, to govern, and an understanding mind, and he didn't ask for vengeance. When it was right there, he pulled his hand. It's like he's got his finger on the trigger. God, kill them all. Kill them all. And it's like, takes his finger off the trigger and knocks it on the safe. Takes all the bullets out and puts it back in the gun cover. No, I'm not asking for that. I'm not asking for that. How do I unlock God's promise in my life? The key is forgiveness. That's the key. One of the keys. It's not the only key. It's one of the keys. God, help me to forgive. I've got to take it further than wanting to want to forgive. I have to. That's a great place to start. I want to forgive. So I pray that way. But there comes a point at which my prayers have to change. And Tim was talking to me about this last week. And where our prayers have to change from I want to God, through gritted teeth, forgive them. And if I've got to pray it at first through gritted teeth, that makes my teeth ache, forgive them. Then start there, forgive them. And the more we pray it, the more our teeth separate. It'll take a while. Unforgiveness doesn't happen in a moment. And the gift that we pass on to other people of forgiveness often doesn't happen in a moment. Sometimes it does, but often doesn't. It comes by over and over and over again being brought back to a place where we revisit a memory and our stomach going, no. Forgive. Just forgive. God, help me to forgive them. And the more we pray it, the more forgiveness comes into our life. The more we pray it, the more God sets us free to be able to forgive. The more we pray it, the greater His Spirit comes into our life and gives us the ability to grab hold of the grace and forgiveness that is His to give us and ours to pass on to other people. But I have to, at some point, move from this. Got it. And I've got to start by saying, God, help me. Help me to forgive. Help. I want to. Now, I don't know where you are in your forgiveness journey. You don't know where I am. Except with my neighbors. and I can laugh about that because it really, you know, it's not a big issue. But there are places in my life where I have to keep revisiting this. So I want to revisit some of those this morning as I pray, God, forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. And I invite you to stand with me and we'll pray together. So, Father, in Jesus' name, forgiveness is a hard thing. It was hard for you to purchase forgiveness for us. It was hard for you to send your Son and to put yourself on a cross. It cost you more than we can possibly imagine to buy our forgiveness. Please, please help us in turn to forgive other people who have wronged us or who owe us a debt. We thank you that you forgave us of the debt that we owe you. Help us, Father, to pass on the forgiveness of the debts that people have that we want to hold on to. Father, by your grace and your mercy, help us, even if we have to pray through gritted teeth, if we have to start there, help us this week to start there. Pray through gritted teeth, forgive them. And then give us the mercy and grace that we need to pray it with meaning, to pray it with enthusiasm, and to pray it with the anointing of God on it until it becomes a reality in our life. Father, this is one of your character traits, the character trait of forgiveness. And we want to mirror that character trait to the world that we live in. In Jesus' name, keep us safe as we wrestle with this issue. And everybody said, amen.